Spirit of Design delves deep into the unseen elements of design and holistic sustainability.
Join us, Amy and
Anya,
for open conversations with creatives, scholars, activists, and others to envision alternative design futures that are diverse, inclusive, community-centric, and in symbiosis with all life on this planet. Welcome back to Spirit of Design podcast. It's been a very long time since we have recorded a podcast together. So Anya and I are very happy to be back together today and to share time with each other and to share time with you and to revisit a conversation, one of the last conversations we had on this podcast, which was around expansive visioning for fashion futures. And so, yeah, that's what we're going to kick off today. But I thought we'd just start with a little conversation about what's been going on over the last month, 2 months or so. And because I feel like it's not just us that has been going through some like deep thinking and deep changes and deep exploring over this time, but it seems as if it's a collective experience. And so, yeah, maybe we can just dive into what it's been like over the last couple months. And Anya, do you want to kind of just talk about what these last couple months has been like for you and what you've learned over this time? And yeah, maybe a little bit about the reasoning behind our hiatus over the last couple months, which I think has been really important.
Yeah, I think it has been. Whoa, that's a big question. I feel like I'm going to be reflecting on that all year. I think the break was very much needed. I was very much going inward, and I'd love for you to also share what you were doing, Amy. Very much going inward and not wanting to share and create until only perhaps a month or so ago. And just a lot of processing of what's happening, but also a lot of, I've had a lot of things come up around health and around anxiety, and which is all linked to ancestral and lineage trauma and trauma from my past, and looking at that and clearing that once and for all. Also looking at, like we just touched on briefly, identities and what are these identities that I think I have and I give myself value in being, and actually trying to rewrite those and restructure those and reprogram beliefs around who I think I am and what I want, and the world. Ultimately, that's what that leads into, the world that I want to live in. That's a very quick summary, and I've seen it happening. So many people around me, that not only are we seeing the collective shadows of our systems, of our paradigms, of our world really rising up right now, like this intense darkness. The things that perhaps are not so great, that are quite even evil in this world. And I've seen that very much coming up in a personal level within myself and others to be looked at and healed, I think, or at least that's how I'm looking at it. And it's been really intense. Some of the most intense months of my life. But also really beautiful, because I've seen so many people on a similar journey, and I think you can relate to this, Amy, and so much sharing and vulnerability and like sitting in this space in between of not knowing and complexity and just really surrendering to that and being okay with that has been really beautiful to see, but also experience with other humans around me. How's it been for you?
Yeah, really similar. I think at the beginning of our kind of 2-month hiatus, I actually, same thing, was going through a lot of health stuff, which is really strange for me because I never, like, and I mean never get sick, like maybe once every 5 to 7 years, I get like a cold or something. And it just never happens for me. And at the beginning of the, like, just after our last podcast, just before we were supposed to record this one, our next one, I ended up in the hospital for 5 days, like for something which was minor, like I stood on a screw and it was like nothing major, but for some reason my body just went into shutdown. And so I ended up having to go on antibiotics in the hospital for 5 days and whatever. And then after that, I got tonsillitis and I got sick again multiple times. And it was like as if my body was like, no, you must slow down. Like, you must stop. And if you're not going to, then I'm going to force you to, which was really strange for me because for someone who never, ever, ever is unwell, to then spend 2 months of like on and off not being 100% with my health was really strange. But a very clear message. And I think one of the things that I've been really sitting with over the last couple months, and same as you, like really deep inward thinking and not really feeling like I had anything to give or even wanting to give until now. But I've been sitting with this question of like, what if our inability, and I know both you and I are obsessed with the NAP ministry, which we can link to this. And so a lot of their work has been making me question a lot about rest, and how rest is often feeling like such a luxury. And so one of the questions I've been sitting with is, what if our inability to allow ourselves to rest is tied to our inability to extend rest to Mother Earth? And so I've been thinking about it in that kind of a way, like allowing myself to rest is such a rebellious act against so many of the systems, but also if I can't allow myself to rest, how can I ever extend rest to anybody else? I don't know if that makes sense, but that's been one of my thoughts over the last little while. And then again, like you said, it's like been this stripping of identity, like self-constructed identities, you know, who I thought I was or how I attached my value to whatever identities I had created for myself, stripping that away and either being forced to strip that away and look at it or getting to a place where I just have this deep desire for a new kind of freedom where I'm extending to myself and everyone else around me a state of non-judgmentalism. I don't know the word there. A state of non-judgment. Like the allowing myself and others around me to evolve and to reintroduce themselves and myself to each other and be in a state of continuous evolvement without judgment. And for me, that's feeling a lot like what freedom looks like at the moment. And so it's been a process of relearning myself, still in that process now. But yeah, it's been a very interesting few months, very interesting year, but specifically the last few months, I've just, like you said, seen so many people around me. It's like our entire worlds as we knew them, our identities as we knew them, are just collapsing and being stripped away. And it's felt really heavy and really dark at the time, but I can see starting to emerge on the other side of it that it's so beautiful and there's so much freedom in going through that process, and it's been so necessary. But yeah, I think that's kind of what it's been like over the last couple months for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I can relate to so much of that. Do you mind if we talk about rest for a little bit? Because I think
yes,
that's such an important thing when we're imagining these new paradigms, and it's such a journey also that I have been on myself as someone who, you know, I was brought up very with an intense work ethic because my parents came to Australia with nothing and they worked really hard, and I was just taught you need to work really, really freaking hard to get anywhere in life, and it actually did make me quite successful in a lot of ways, but had led me to burnout, like having a mental breakdown a few years ago from working too much, just like this continual pushing of this high achieving identity and seeking my value from seeing how much I could do and how good I could do it at the expense of my physical health, my mental health, at the expense of relationships, where relationships always came second, and that includes relationship to myself, others, and to Mother Earth.
Mm.
And the past year I have, past year and a half, I've really been on this journey to start reconnecting with my body and slowing down. And particularly this year, rest has been such a vital element because it's like my body actually, I can feel it just can't keep going at some points. And I literally just have to have naps and rest and allow myself to do it. And it's been so freaking hard to rewire my conditioning around that. But I feel it's getting easier. But it's just made me realize how much this insanity of our value as human beings and our deservingness of rest, of pleasure, of fun and joy, only when we've done a certain amount of work, only when we've achieved something can we rest, can we be in our pleasure. And it's just all obviously tied into this insanity of this matrix we're living in. But it's been so beautiful to see that and start to restructure it and also think about how much this is ingrained in capitalism, in our patriarchal systems, and actually saying no to it. Like you were saying, Amy, it's like this huge rebellious, disruptive act. Oh, I have a deadline. Actually, I'm going to go and have a nap. Rewire my nervous system to get me back into my natural flow state instead of stressing myself out. And I think that's when we come from a place of rest, of pleasure, of joy, that's when magic can really happen, particularly when we're trying to create a different world. And I think our systems don't want us to be rested. They don't want us to be in our full joy, because when we're not, then we can't really dream up new things. So that's been really interesting looking at that on a personal level, and then also how I'm integrating that into my work.
Yeah, it's such an important one. And like we've spoken a lot about before about, you know, the definitions we use for success. And I think rest is just, there's no room for it in our current, you know, mainstream definitions of success, because you've got to hustle and you've got to, you know, you've got to earn your rest. And yet, I don't know, it just felt to me the other day when I was thinking about this, that the way we force that agenda of earning rest and productivity upon ourselves is also the way we force it upon each other and our Mother Earth, and that cycle is ever perpetuating, because when we're not in a, at least this is something I've witnessed, when we're not in a state of rest, we find it hard to allow others to be in a state of rest. I don't know. It's just such a big, it's such a big one, rest. And there are so many, I was thinking about this today, like there's so many ways in which we commit little acts of treason against ourselves in all the ways we say yes to things, like micro treasons to ourselves. We say yes to things that we don't necessarily want to do and that take us away from a place of feeling rested, even if it's only mentally and emotionally feeling busy. And we just feel this external pressure to constantly be seeking external approval instead of being truthful and honest to ourselves, and instead of extending ourselves the ability to say no, the right to say no, and in saying no, being more rested, having more capacity to do the things which we are here to do, which we are, you know, to be in a space of creativity and like full expression. We can't be there without rest. It's not possible. And yeah, it's just, it's been interesting over the last few months to notice that the way my body has forced me to rest and to think deeper about the consequences of not resting. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but.
Yeah, I think it's also really big for women, this whole saying yes to things we don't really want to do.
Yes.
You know, putting other people first. And obviously there's that caretaker nurturing essence that comes into play. But also I think how we're brought up in our society, that different values are put onto women and girls as opposed to men. And yeah, rest, I think it's also important to note, rest, it's more associated with the yin, when you have the yin and the yang, the feminine, which is obviously in all of us, not just females. And it is one of those essences, like other yin attributes, that are devalued in our current paradigm. You go.
No, sorry. Go for it.
No, go for it.
I was just going to say that rest looks different for each person as well, because I think oftentimes when we say rest, what we mean is like, what we think we mean is like sleep. And sometimes it is sleep and slowing down and actually physically being in an act of resting. But recently, rest for me has actually been doing more, but not doing quote unquote productive things. So restfulness for me recently has been like, this is going to sound really weird, but restfulness for me recently has been like going out dancing or like going for drinks with friends, because those are things that I always felt like I had to earn for myself. Like I had to do enough to earn my right to go do something that brought me joy, like spending time with friends or like going out dancing. And it might not, like, while it takes physical energy to do those things make me feel rested because my spirit enjoys those things, or my spirit feels like full when I'm doing those things. So for me, rest hasn't necessarily recently been the physical act of resting, although there definitely has been an aspect of that that I have needed. But it's also been like not physically resting, but resting in the sense of not feeling the need to earn my right to go and do the things that make me feel most full.
Yeah, I love that, Amy. It's so important that everyone distinguishes what that is for them, because that can look like a multitude of things. I feel like also for me, even though naps are really, really nourishing for me at the moment, but I also find that rest for me is switching off the noise.
Mm.
Like the noise of social media, even the noise of podcasts. Mm. Like we were just saying, I haven't maybe listened to 2 podcasts in the past 4 months, and I used to listen to so many. Mm. Yeah, switching off from podcasts, and because I need to read a lot for my research, but I just sometimes if I'm commuting or if I'm cooking dinner, I just love the silence and mm. just being with the activity, and that feels really restful and nourishing for me at the moment. Switching off from noise, and I've turned off all my notifications on my phone for almost everything, and it feels so freaking good.
Mm. Yeah, you're 100% right, because like I've found that about myself. I've noticed that recently as well, is that like I love podcasts, like absolutely obsessed with them. But in the last few months, you and I were just talking about this before, like both of us have listened to hardly any. I've listened to one in about, I don't know how many months, several months. And for me, that was also, like you said, an act of rest, because I, you know, similarly have to read a lot for my study at the moment. And I find myself like, I'll be like on the beach, quote unquote, supposed to be resting, like spending time with my family, and I'll be like lying there enjoying the sun, but I have this need, like this old need within me, that like I can't just be lying there. I should like read something. I should like learn something. Maybe I should listen to a podcast, or like it's so, I find it so hard to just let myself lie there and enjoy my time with my family. It's like, ooh, maybe I should just get in a little bit of study, or maybe I should read something while I'm here, listen to a podcast, learn something. And it was just this constant feeling of like, even when I'm resting, needing to be doing something that was slightly productive, even if it was listening to podcasts, which I do really, really enjoy. And I love learning new things. Like for me, that is one of the things that fills my cup. But it's like learning the boundaries. Sometimes that fills my cup, not all the time. And where are those boundaries? And how can I listen to my body better and understand when I need to rest and what kind of rest I need right now, and to honor that kind of rest that I need? And I, like you said earlier, I think that's really hard for women, because we've been with everyone, but I feel more specifically for women, because we have been conditioned in a certain way. And I find that being a mother as well, there's this like, it's crazy that, and I think everybody is going through this, like learning to rest is something that everybody needs to go through. But I've noticed that as a mother and other mothers that I know, like there's this expectation that we have all of these lives. We're a mother, we're a friend, we also work, we do all of the things. And when you add up the hours and the workload that goes on with mothering and having your own work and having all the other things and friendships, like when you add all of that up, it's just this insane load of expected energy output, and there's just not enough to be met there. And at some point we have to get ruthless with our nose and with our rest and with our, you know, care for ourselves, so that we can actually be doing the things that we are here for. And that I don't know where I was going with that. But yes, it is such a unlearning to allow oneself to get to rest.
Yeah, there needs to be as much, if not more, input coming in, not just the output, right?
Yeah, and I think definitely the majority of our society is in a input deficit at the moment. Like there's more output than input coming in, and that's really dangerous. I think it's actually dangerous. It's dangerous to live that way, because we never have the capacity. We're intentionally kept in that state, I believe, because we don't have the ability to make great decisions from that place. We don't have we're not as connected to our intuition when we're in that place. There are so many reasons why being in that space is so beneficial for the systems which benefit off of our, you know, in the context of fashion, of off of our consumerism. Keeping us in that state of non-restedness keeps those systems in play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's been so interesting in this time to see that all come up and see so many people also unexpectedly seeing these flaws in the system has been quite interesting. I wonder, I think there's also such an energetic power in rest, and I touched on this briefly before, but imagine if like this work, the work that everyone's doing in service to the world, their purpose work, particularly in terms of creating a new paradigm, helping others, serving Mother Earth, if that activism work, if that all came from an energy within each of us individually that was nourished and nurtured through rest, through pleasure, through connection to joy, I think the outcomes, the actions that emerge on the outside from that internal energy, I think are so much more potent because there is like this grounding of fullness, of wholeness, which I feel that rest can put us into. And I think we see so much activism work in the sustainability space or just general activism work in general. And you see this a lot, people burning out. It's still coming from this old paradigm of work, work, productivity, optimization, growth. And people are physically and mentally burning out. And because there isn't this, there's this emphasis on continual doing at the expense of ourselves. And I think it's really counterintuitive we can't create something new in the same, with the same methods and processes and the same way of thinking and seeing the world that created what we are in now. If we're trying to get out of that, we need to do things in a different way. That's been big on my mind, and that's what I'm researching at the moment. But it's so interesting because I am researching, okay, how do we, you know, what are these new paradigms, these new values we can instill in fashion and design? But then I catch myself coming sometimes from this place of unrestedness, of sometimes scarcity, of feeling like I haven't done enough work. And it's so ingrained. It's ingrained in us, most of us, before we even come out of utero. And there's just, it's so interesting to catch myself doing that and actually step back and be like, no, like it comes from within each of us. And I think it's work we need to do individually and collectively.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that we would be missing a huge part of the conversation because we have been playing with this work for quite a while now, even if it's been challenging for us to actually get to the state of allowing ourselves to rest on a consistent basis. Both of us have been playing with this work for quite a long time now. And I think without also mentioning or addressing the fact that, like, yes, there is an aspect, a huge, huge part of the reasons we don't allow ourselves to rest is because we've been conditioned to be productive and to think we have to earn rest. But there's also this aspect of rest is very confrontational when you begin it. Like if you haven't created a practice of rest before, when you allow yourself to begin to rest, is actually very confrontational. The first phase of rest is almost unrestful, because it's like as if all of the things that you never confronted or saw in yourself or allowed yourself space to come up within you, when you first begin resting, those things come to the forefront. And that can be things like traumas that have been pushed to the wayside in the favor of A, not addressing them, or B, being productive and not wanting them to get in the way of our productivity, because that's what we've been taught is makes us valuable. And so I think there is an element of fearfulness attached to rest, because when we rest, we also, it's almost a small dying that happens, I believe. Like when we begin to allow ourselves that practice of rest, it's almost as if we have to go through a phase of like confronting ourselves, dealing with everything that we've not allowed space to deal with before. And so sometimes rest takes courage, at least when you're beginning. I don't know. Oh, that's what I feel like.
Yeah. Oh, I love what you've just brought up. And I think particularly for those of us that are high achievers and we want to create a lot in this world, I think there is that trap that you can fall into when you first begin and continue resting, that you're going to get set behind in some way, because we still measure success also by hours. By time is a big one, I think. Time's very interlaced in this conversation of rest, I feel. So I think it's a lot of rewiring and courage, as you say, that, you know, what if the more we rested, the more we created and achieved in this world? Like, why can't that be true? We're just told it has to be measured by how much you're putting in terms of hours and time, but maybe that doesn't need to be the case.
And I think over the last few years, like the idea of the concept of time and hours put in has started to change a little bit, with like books like The 4-Hour Work Week and people starting to work from home and stuff like that. I think we've begun to sort of understand on an intellectual level that hours in doesn't necessarily equal productivity. But it also, the concept of time is also has been very colonized. Like when I've, you know, as I've been learning more about my own roots, I've learned about how our concept of time in, like, for our Indigenous culture in New Zealand is very different from the colonial concept of time. And it's not linear in the way that we think of time today. Like as our global collective, we have this understanding of time that we share with each other, right? That's not the way that traditionally we saw and understood time. And so I found that really interesting, thinking about time from a different viewpoint. And it's kind of challenged me on, my concept of time and how I think of time. And this may seem really abstract, but it makes me think about like time not being just this physical point, but like it kind of makes me think about like ideas around intergenerational healing. Like time isn't necessarily here and moving forward. Like time also includes what went before us. So exploring time doesn't necessarily mean, and being productive doesn't necessarily mean from here forward. I don't know if that makes sense. But in my mind, it makes sense. But yeah, this concept of time as like, I can reach back and interact with those that went before me, heal that time frame, that like heal that lineage, and that's still part of moving forward. I don't know if that makes sense, but Anyways, I'll leave it there. And if it makes sense to someone, they can explore it in their own head. But yes, that's kind of, yeah, it's been interesting to explore the concept of time.
Yeah, it does make sense. Because isn't it, they say that when you heal ancestral trauma, you heal, isn't it like 3 or 4 generations forward and then 3 or 4 generations back?
That would make sense to me.
Something like that. But yeah, it's back, forward and back, because time isn't linear like it is in the West. And actually what you were saying, Amy, Tyson Yunkta-Porter talks about this in his book Sand Talk, which I just finished reading, from an Australian First Nations people's perspective. And he talks about how his grandmother is also his daughter and his grandson is also his uncle, and which I'm still trying to wrap my head around, but how it's all these layers, and it's because it's whole circle, swift layers, as opposed to this linear time that we have. And yeah, that, I guess that relates to family trees and everything. Everything is interconnected. It's really interesting. Really, really interesting. I've started looking into time actually quite a bit this week for my research, and how in order to imagine new possibilities, we do need to move outside of this linear timescape that we have, which is the clock, because everything we do is dictated by this clock, and it's static, and it doesn't really, there's no room for like other possibilities, because this has been created in this way.
I find that idea of the clock being really interesting, because like in my life, having grown up in Tajikistan, there's honestly, the concept of time is not the same as a Western concept of time. Like if you say 10 o'clock, it's open for interpretation. And say, like, you know, we 10 o'clock, okay, cool. Maybe I'll leave at 10 o'clock. Maybe I'll leave 30 minutes after 10 o'clock. Maybe I'll be there at 9:30. It's just a general guideline. And having grown up with like that, time is just not seen the same way. Time hasn't been colonized in the same way in certain cultures, and having grown up in different cultures where time doesn't have the same weight that it does in a Western culture has been really interesting for me. Even my dad gets shit all the time, because obviously we live in New Zealand, which has been a Westernized society, and everyone knows that like my dad is late to everything. And it's not because he's disrespectful of time. It's because he values relationships more than he values time. And so he gets lost in conversations with people. And I think one of the things that time does from the Western understanding of time is it stunts relationships. Because when you're like, if you just think of, for example, meeting a friend for coffee, okay, like let's meet at 10 o'clock and I've got another meeting at 11. So you have an hour cap on the amount of time and the intimacy you have in that friendship, because it's dictated to by the amount of time that you have. So you can only express that level of intimacy within that 1 hour with that friend, right? So you can only go as deep as you're willing to within that hour. And in many ways, that has dictated our relationships and the depth and breadth of the relationships that we create with each other and with the earth and with everyone and everything that is around us. And so growing up with people who didn't understand time in the same way, who are like, well, if I'm in a conversation with someone, then that conversation and that relationship takes priority over somebody's understanding of when the clock ticks to, you know, 2. Has really given me an appreciation, but of I don't know. It's interesting to observe the two systems side by side. And it's not that either is wrong or right, but there's definitely a place for both. And there are moments when time definitely helps us to organize our lives and whatever. But also, you know, time has often been at the expense of deeper relationships. And I think at this moment in time, I look around and I notice everyone that I can see around me, whether it's friends of mine or whether it's complete strangers, I can see that there's this deep desire for more intimacy, deeper relationships to each other, to our Mother Earth, to all other life. And that those deeper relationships cannot coexist with the same understanding of time that we currently have, that Western understanding of time.
That's so interesting. Those points you touched on, Amy, and your experience of not really having that. It is almost like this crazy, invisible force that we just give our lives to and dictate and allow to dictate our lives, time. And I think it's interesting you bring up this point around how it can be at the cost of our relationships. And I feel I catch myself doing that like all the time when I am with people who I should be cultivating a deep relationship with because I want to, because it really makes my heart sing, but that there is that restraint of time and having to go and do other things, and which of course other, you know, it's important to have other things going on, but there is that restraint there, which I do feel quite often. So it's interesting you touched on that. And time I feel is so interwoven with like our, in terms of fashion, our making, like our production systems, like everything is on such tight time schedules, and it's so dependent on time that there's such little room for cultivating relationships. It's all about the end product. Whilst all these relationships within the entire fashion ecosystem, they're just completely not thought about. That it's just like a transaction, like to get what you want, whilst there isn't that that care around relationships happening. And I really wonder how the fashion system and industry could shift if it was more about the relationships as opposed to making, producing and consuming things.
Yeah, 100%. It is definitely like time, that our concepts of time have so much to do with everything that touches our lives. And in fashion, those concepts of time very much dictate the way that we make and produce, and also the creativity that's expressed within fashion. Because I think from a design point of view, there's very often not enough time given, especially in fast fashion, not enough time given to designers to actually be creative. Which is why you see brands like Zara and that ripping stuff straight off the runway and then reproducing it, because they actually don't have time for creativity, to foster creativity, to foster creative expression. And so, yeah, it is a really interesting question to kind of think about, like, how can our understanding of time change, and what would it look like if we had a different understanding of time? I don't know what that would look like, but I have a sense, like, I don't know, recently in my research, I've been looking at traditional ways of making stuff here in New Zealand, and just thinking about the insane amounts of time that go into making a singular garment, like our traditional woven cloaks. You're growing the flax, you're stripping the flax, you're hand weaving everything, and even just the hand weaving aspect of it can take up to 2 years to make something. You know, countless hours of work going into just a singular garment. And then that time frame of that garment's life is also extended by the amount of time that's put into it, because it then becomes a hereditary garment, or it becomes something that's handed down and valued for, you know, generations. And it becomes something that becomes very sacred because of the time and energy and creativity that's put into it. And that lack of time and creativity and energy, well, not energy, but creativity and time and care that's put into garments today is kind of reflective in the amount of time that we keep them for. And yeah, I don't know. It's a really big one. It's so complex and fascinating to think about what could alternative timelines look like in fashion.
Yeah, I think time and care is really closely interlinked here. Like caring for garments and developing relationships with garments, with our things in general. I think that's also quite closely interlinked with time, and not only putting time into those actions of care and maintenance and repair and so on, but also how you were saying how these things get passed down and the time that these things can live through. I think there's a lot to think about there as well, which is quite, you know, quite fascinating. And we see there is like a huge appreciation of vintage and antique garments and material objects in our world right now. So I do think that is starting to realize, maybe on a more superficial level, but I do wonder how we can start really exploring different avenues for what time is, what time means within fashion.
And I think also, though, within fashion context, like time is so, like, I think one of the ways that that can begin, we can begin exploring time and I guess de-stressing ourselves from those time frames, is to begin developing deeper relationships. And those relationships take time, but it is kind of those deeper relationships that will eventually lead to a slower, more considered, more creative, more holistic fashion system. And those relationships take place in the time spent in growing something, the time spent in harvesting something, the time spent in the ceremony aspects that all of our ancestors had before, for many of them, those ceremonial aspects were stripped away around harvesting and making. You know, all of those, the time spent in relationship with designers and makers and sewers and artisans, and all across that, all across from soil all the way to us wearing it. I think through relationship, we can extend the time frame of things. I feel like it's in being in relationship and in allowing ourselves to be in relationship that the time will almost expand. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what it feels like to me.
Ooh, I like that. It's almost like you're bending time and space because the focus has moved onto something else, onto relationships.
Yes. Yes, exactly. You're like being in the relationship, and in being in the relationship, you're expanding time across everything. So you're expanding time across the time it takes to develop that product, the care that goes into it, because it's a relational product now. And then in that sense, you extend the life of that product. You extend the relationship of the wearer to that product, and then the relationship of ensuing generations as that's passed on or cared for by others. I don't know. I feel like, yeah, I feel like time can expand through relationships.
Yeah. Well, people talk about this spending time and space. I think Einstein used to talk about this. But yeah, I think that's a really interesting point to actually doing it for fashion. And our whole world is made up of relationships, but obviously the Western world doesn't see it that way. It sees it in silos, but it is in relationships. And when we focus on those relationships, everything else can shift.
But also in being in relationship with each other, we're in a state, it's like we're in a state of like, I don't know, when we're in relationship with each other, we're in a state of feedback, like with each other, we're constantly learning and evolving and adapting. We're more creative, we're more expressive in healthy relationship at least. And I don't know, also there's an aspect of being in relationship with oneself, which allows you to be in relationship with others. It almost feels like you can't, for the sake of time, expand time, but you can take the focus off of time. Because I think that's what happens in a Western society, is relationships are dictated to by time. But if it was in the reverse, that time was dictated to by relationships, in the sense that relationships kind of expanded time, that feels like a healthier, happier, more fulfilling, more satisfying way to live. To me, at least.
Yeah, it does. 100%. 100%. So fascinating. I feel like we can really get into a wormhole here.
Yeah. Yes.
A rabbit hole.
Yes, I'm super excited to read your research now.
Yeah, you too. Well, yeah, mine's still like, it's still all over the place. It will be for a while, but we'll see. Yeah. Was there anything you wanted to add, Amy, about rest or time, or any last comments perhaps before we finish up?
No, not for me. What about you?
No, I think we touched on some interesting points, and I think like I'd love whoever's listening to leave you with, how can you start to explore more elements of rest within your own life and really like ease into it, like no matter how uncomfortable it may be at first. And whatever it is, like, how can you incorporate more rest into your life as a disruptive, but also as a very nurturing act of self-love?
I love that question.
Yeah.
It's tricky. Yeah, and I think also for anybody who has a familiarity with rest and has been trying to practice or is practicing rest for themselves, like how can we, because I feel like this is a phase I'm in and I'm asking myself this question, but how can you allow yourself to be in tune with what rest looks like for you in this moment and what kinds of rest feel good to you? So it's not just always thinking that rest means sleeping, but, you know, if rest today looks like going for a walk in nature, or if rest today looks like going for a dance, or if rest today looks like whatever it looks like for you in that moment, how can you actually be listening to, how can you expand your understanding of rest and listen to what rest you need in this moment?
Yes, I love that. And even I think even if it's something we're told is a waste of time, like watching a funny, stupid reality TV show or whatever it is, I think that's something to lean into as well.
Yeah, That's been my favorite form of rest recently.
Yes, me too. It's so good. And it's good to laugh.
Yeah. 100%.
Oh, well, thank you for this conversation, Amy. It's been very nourishing.
Thank you, babe. Thanks for hanging out today. And I love how this is not at all where we plan to go with this conversation. It's so perfect.
No, and whoever's listening, thank you so much. Enjoy your day, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's conversation.
For today's show notes, to get in touch or sign up to our mailing list, you can find links at the bottom of this episode page.
And if you are new to our community, then head on over to our Instagram at sustainability5.0 and our website www.sustainability5.world and follow along to stay up to date with our upcoming online and in-person events.
If you found value in today's conversation, then we would so appreciate it if you would subscribe and leave us a review. Through this, you're helping others to find these important conversations.
Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.